Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading, this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, is Joel 2, verses 23 through 32. The lesson begins. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the Lord, the name of your Lord, your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days, I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, and blood and fire of the columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. Word of the Lord. Today's psalm, Psalm 65, can be found in your insert or on page 672 of the Red Book of Common Prayer. We'll read this responsively. I'll begin with verse 1 and congregation, verse 2 and so on. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be performed in Jerusalem. Our sins are stronger than we are, but we will blot them out. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and the seas that are far away.
You made the mountains by your power. They are light.
You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, and the clamor of the peoples. You visit the earth and the water and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless it its increase. May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing and the hills be clothed with joy. This Sunday's epistle is 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. The lesson begins. As for me, I'm already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through my message, the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled. But all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my question for your consideration today is, are you satisfied or are you justified? When you come before God, when you pray, what is your attitude of prayer? Last week and this week, we have parables that teach about prayer. The parable of the widow and the unjust judge last week teaches us to pray persistently, and the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector teaches us to pray humbly. Today's parable also addresses whose prayers are welcomed by God and whose fall on deaf ears. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus teaches us not to celebrate our virtues, but to pray humbly and to be aware of and acknowledge our need for forgiveness. That prayer is justified. In today's Lucan passage, another dimension of prayer is addressed. The heart of prayer, really, and that is who God is and who we are before God. Let's take a look at today's scripture and see what we can glean. So we have two people, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Within the culture of the day, the Pharisee was held up as an example of a godly person. Here was a man who followed all God's commandments and religious restrictions and duties. After all, didn't he pray daily in the temple, even at times when it wasn't required? He was truly a faithful, practicing Jew. Pharisees were members of the priestly class, and they were highly respected in the community, and they were the ones that kept Judaism going after the Roman overthrow and the Roman occupation. A Pharisee fasted twice a week, tithed their income to alms, not just the required income, but all of his income in this case. And because of their careful adherence to religious law, they were considered to be righteous people. Then we have the tax collector, one of the most despised people within the Jewish community. They were charged by the Roman government to collect taxes from the people. the very taxes that paid for the military occupation. Essentially, tax collectors were collaborators with occupying forces. And it's a very interesting thing to note. They were not paid for their work. So in order to support their families, they would collect above what the government required and pay themselves out of the overage. Obviously, being a tax collector essentially gave them a license to steal. That's the way the system was set up. And everyone knew that. No matter that they had to steal under the system, they still stole from their fellow Jews. So Jesus teaches a lesson about God's mercy in justifying this ritually unclean, abject sinner, the tax collector, instead of the religiously adherent and holy Pharisee. Listeners would have been surprised at the end of this story that Jesus told. They just would not get it. And in some ways, I think we're surprised too. Both of these men were in the temple praying, not because of an obligation, but because they felt the need to offer up prayer. And this is where the similarities end. The Pharisee was standing a distance from everyone else and was praying, holding himself upright and regal, which was the proper posture to pray before God in the temple. You stood upright, you held your arms up to God. He was sure that he was far better than the poor tax collector and was thanking God that he was not a rogue or a thief or an adulterer or even the tax collector. He extolled to God his worthiness and virtue. After all, he obeyed all the laws. Can you see him standing there in your mind's eye? Standing a bit apart. I think part of that was so that he didn't get touched and become ritually unclean. And then we see the tax collector, far off from the others in the temple. He knew he was despised and wanted to be where the Pharisee and other people would not look scornfully at him, and he would not make them unclean. He was so ashamed that he could not even follow custom and lift his hands or eyes up to God in his prayers. He felt his own shame and was beating his breast at his unworthiness. He was crying out to God to be merciful to him, an unworthy sinner. Can you see him in your mind? The tax collector's prayer is one of humility and repentance. For what he had and what he had done, he knew he was a sinner. He could not look up because the weight of his sins laid heavy on his head. His prayer was very short. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He may have repeated this prayer again and again, even listing those sins that he had committed. And his prayer was answered by God. He went home justified. If we pray like the Pharisee because it is our duty or to be seen as righteous, our prayers fall on deaf ears because they're really not quite prayers. They're a little bit more like a commercial announcement of all that you're doing. As happened in the book of Job, proud men who praised themselves for their godliness and righteousness were brought very low by God. They will be rejected because they lack the humbleness to realize they need the mercy of God as well as anybody else and as much as those that they despise. C.S. Lewis, the famous Christian apologist, said it this way: a proud person is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something above you. When we confess our sins with a completely open heart, God hears and is reconciled to us. God favors those who ask for mercy rather than those who expect it because they've earned it. Because we don't really earn grace, it's a gift freely given by God. If we had to earn it, I think we would all come up short. God accepts those seeking mercy and forgiveness into communion as part of the kingdom. The greater the sin, the greater the repentance, and the greater the mercy. As Dwight L. Moody put it, God sends no one away empty except for those who are full of themselves. Or as Jesus puts it, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. I think the hook in this story is that we may be tempted to identify with the tax collector and not the Pharisee, even though we may resemble the Pharisee in more ways than we would really like to acknowledge. At what moments have we thanked God with a kind of self-satisfied or self-centered prayer of gratitude, thankful that we were able to accomplish something and attributing it to our righteousness? At what moments have we looked at others and thought, well, I may be bad, but I'm not like them. I'm not like them. I'm not like them. None of us is worthy or deserving of God's grace and mercy. Our theology, our good works, our acts of piety will not get us into heaven. We can't earn heaven. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is that while we were yet sinners, we are redeemed and made holy through God's love, grace, and mercy. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us and make us holy and acceptable to him. My purity or goodness, your purity or goodness, human purity or goodness has nothing to do with it. It is all about God's love, God's good pleasure, God's grace, God's mercy, freely bestowed on each of us. This is how we receive forgiveness. This is how we have been forgiven. And this is how everyone is forgiven. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That prayer is all that it takes. Rely on God's mercy, love, and grace. Your prayers will be answered.